Okay, so we're going to talk about live tiles and notifications on Windows 8. And so in this session, we're going to talk about tiles, and tiles are what's on the Windows start screen. Instead of just a static grid of icons, you get to see large, multicolored, image-laden tiles that are actually alive with data from your apps. Also, there are secondary tiles, which you can think of as just as there's you can bookmark a web page deep within the hierarchy of a website. You can think of a secondary tile as a bookmark deep into the content of your app that can be pinned to the start screen. The user can click that secondary tile and be taken right to that area of your application. And we'll also talk about notifications on Windows, which lets the user be notified of events that are going on either locally from the app, from the Windows system, or over the internet from some push notification service. We'll also talk a bit about Windows Azure Mobile Services as one of those services. And finally, we'll talk about lock screen integration, which lets an application put badge and notification information on the lock screen. So, live tiles and notifications. Windows notifications are similar to Apple's iOS model. You can have badges, you can have local notifications, and you can have push notifications. Badges are simply little round number indications on the tile that look like, just looks like a red circle, lets the user know that this app has, five unread messages, five unseen messages, so forth. Local notifications are notifications that come from the local system, from the local app, and then push notifications come over the internet. The little bit of extra ability on Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 is live tiles. Your application tile on the start screen can display content from within the app rather than just a static text or image. And that lets a weather app, for example, update its tile with current weather conditions rather than just showing a static sunrise image or so forth. And the live tiles can be used as your business card or the first impression. It's a differentiator in that if you make wise use of the live tile to display good information on the app tile in a way that's attractive to the user and gives them information, and your competitor doesn't, or they don't display it in a very useful way, or maybe if they display it in an annoying way, it's a big differentiator. It draws people to your app, and if your app uses advertising or in-app purchases, for monetization, the more times people enter your app, the larger there is a chance that you'll be seeing some revenue. So Jaime's going to do a demo.
Can you move to this screen? So this is not a big demo. All I wanted to show you was kind of what a start screen looks like. And the reason we're doing it on this machine is because I'm running 8.1, and the machine that we're projecting on that side is 8.0. But what you see here is just live tiles all over the screen. So you see right here, for example, my mail application. So first of all, you see the four sizes of tiles that we have in Windows 8.1. This is the smaller size. This is kind of our medium. This is the wide and the large. And anywhere right here, when I click on, for example, this application right here, I can go back and resize the tile. So I can go back here and say, this is, right now it's large, make it just wide, right? And then you see that it kind of trickles a different effect. It's using a different template. You might see that all these templates or all of these tiles look a little similar. It's because we have predefined templates, which Sean is going to mention. So we have, they're cycling at system, like the system is controlling how often they cycle. The system is controlling, or you choose to template, but the system is controlling how often they cycle so that we don't consume too many resources and so that things are not just kind of fighting for attention within what you have here. And what you see here is just a live screen with, again, the four different tiles right here. You see, I've been here all day, so right now I have 99 emails or more, 99 plus. That's probably since lunch. right here, from people that who have sent me some emails. So that's my batch right here. You see that there's different formats for the templates. Like, for example, this one has a little icon right here. Some of them have the name of the app. So there's a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of templates. And again, you see the four sizes. So you see the large style right here that's coming in 8.1. And you're in control. Like, when you ship your app, you should ship as many icons of those as you can. And then the user is in control with what size they're going to show. And then the last thing that we tell people is, if you have a white tile, or if you're expecting to the user to use a white tile, make sure that it's alive, right? So for example, right now, like, I have games right here, and it's not doing much, or the store, it's not doing much. It's a demo machine, so I haven't launched these as many. There's no activity going on there. So if you ship your application, and by default you want to be white, make sure that your tile is live, because otherwise it's kind of wasted space there to have that ability without anything else.
And if the user doesn't want your tile to be live on their system, they're in control. They can turn the live tile off return to the static tile.
Yep. So here I can, and they can unpin you anytime they want. So that's another thing where here I can unpin this application, which will remove it from the start menu altogether. I can uninstall the application if I wanted to, or I can resize this tile. For example, this one's not moving, so I can just go ahead and make it small. The small ones, ironically, if you just give us the medium tile, we will make the small one for you. We will just automatically shrink. That's why you're seeing here, there's some 8.0 apps here that, these apps haven't been updated. Because in 8.0, we only had two sizes of tiles. We had these right here. We had the medium and the wide. In 8.1, we're introducing this little one, the small one, and we're introducing the large. So that's just kind of what we have for tiles. And that gives you kind of an idea of everything that's with tiles. So go ahead.
Okay. So if you can put my, there we go. So here are an example of the different file or tile templates that exist in the system. It's not inclusive. And in fact, I think there are about 48 of them in Windows 8, and there's probably more in Windows 8.1. I haven't seen the exact number. So there's a large number of different kinds of tiles. You can display an image, all across the tile. You can display an image and various kinds of text of different size and different number of lines. You can display images that kind of a collage of images that even change over time. You can have several sets of images that cycle from one image to the next over periods of time. So there's just a large number of different templates that you could find to use what you need. No, let's go back and take a look at that. So here's an example of just kind of showing you how some of those templates cycle back and forth. And you saw that on the demo. So as Jaime said, there's four sizes in Windows 8.1, and there were only two in 8.0. And they are template driven, and they can be badged. But the user's in control. They can control the size. They can control whether it's live or not. And they can totally remove you from the start screen if they want to. The tiles can be updated either locally from within your app while it's running. It can be pulled periodically from a background task, or you can have a push notification update the tile or the badge. Yep. So the tiles are built from an XML template, and it looks somewhat like this. And this is actually a lot more complicated than the ones I saw in 8.0, so I'm assuming this is an 8.1 schema.
Yep.
You don't have to deal with these directly if you don't want to, but here's what they look like under the hood. And basically they just describe, they have a template name, and they describe what kind of information can be in that tile.
Yep.
And you kind of want to include as many different tile sizes as possible in your application. That way the user can display tile your application as a tile of various different sizes and still get live action. So here's an example of updating a tile locally. There's a notification extensions sample library on MSDN that you can download, where you can essentially just fill out a bunch of content. You have an iTileSquare 310 by 310 image tile content template that you can set, and you basically just hand it the text that you want, the images that you want by referring to them as URIs, and you fill all that information out. You don't have to deal with the XML directly. Yep. And then at the end, once you're done filling out the structure with all the different kinds of tiles and the images and text that they contain, at the very bottom of the slide here, you call Tile Update Manager, the Create Tile Updater for Application method, and then call Update on that, passing in your tile content, and that's what updates the tile on the start screen.
Yep. And the extensions are just a little library. It's a code snippet that we give you as part of the samples, and all it does is give you a kind of a object-oriented, strong type, you know, set of APIs to update the tiles. Otherwise, you're dealing with XML.
Right, and it's better to deal with the strongly typed structures.
Nobody likes to deal with strings, so you just need to deal with those strong. Those are optional. You can do the XML if that's what you want.
You don't want.
Yep.
You can also poll for tile updates. You can set the polling frequency, and you can give it a bunch of URIs that it cycles through, I'm assuming, when... if you know one's available, and then again the polling routine calls the tile update managers create tile updater for application, but then it calls a start periodic update batch to hand that off to the system so that it will periodically poll those URIs for tile updates. Now at those URIs, that's where you need to have the XML, don't you?
So at those URIs, you have the XML and the images or anything else that you might be referencing. Yeah.
Right. So that's one place where you need to have the XML.
Yep. Those URLs, you would feed the XML, or if you're using ASP.NET, the notifications extension library that we give you runs, or Azure, all of those running Azure and ASP.NET. So we give you kind of an object
API
model.
For it. Okay.
Right. But if you're using PHP, then you just generate your XML, and that's what you provide us back.
Okay.
And all the polling is done by the OS. So you just tell us the frequency, and then the OS will do its best to keep up. It will download the tile for you, so you don't have to write any code. You don't have to write a background task.
Right. Okay.
Background task is a different way where you can code a tile, or you can update your tile, but you don't have to. If you just want to, you know, just do it server-side, like, for example, you have new offers or something like that, new content arrive, and you just want to update whatever's, you know, coming down from server-side, like weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy enough to do it server-side. You write less code.
Right. And next we'll move on to secondary tiles. And secondary tiles, they increase your start screen presence because you have your main tile, your main application tile that just launches your application to its main screen. But if you allow the user to provide secondary tiles to the start screen that deep link into the content of your app, all of a sudden you might have 5 or 6 tiles on the user's start screen that launch your app. And so again, the more space you're taking up on the start screen, the more likely it is the user will be going into your app as opposed to somebody else's. The other thing is the secondary tiles, the launch leads to relevant content because it's a secondary tile that the user has chosen to pin to the screen that deep links into your app's content. It's going to right where they want to be. It also supports roaming, so you can pin this tile, the secondary tile, onto the start screen on one device, and any other device that you're logged into with that ID will get that same secondary tile pinned to the start screen. And as before, the user is always in control of pinning and removing. You can't just write code that starts pinning thousands of secondary tiles to the user's start screen. They're always, you know, prompted for approval. Secondary tiles are similar. They have a structure that you can fill out, and so you create the secondary tile. You pass in, you know, logo information, you pass in text, and pass in a size, and you also have to pass in an ID, and you have to maintain those IDs. I mean, you have to know what those IDs are so that you can later refer to them. So this is something you should probably set somewhere in settings and so forth, so that you can access those IDs later. But you basically just fill out the structure as before, and then you can request the creation for the selection. And one of the things you can do here is when you at the bottom of the slide here, you see the code that actually requests the creation of the secondary tile. You can pass in a UI element that you want to have a pop-up that where the user will get a chance to approve or disapprove of the creation of the tile, and you can have that pop-up appear right next to a particular UI element. Because usually what happens is you're at some screen with some relevant piece of content, the user wants to put that on the pin that to the start screen, they pull up an app bar and there's a button there that they click to pin the tile, and you want the pop-up to appear near that button, so you pass in that button's UI element to this routine and the pop-up will appear there, so it's right where they're looking at to begin with.
Yep. If you can switch to this screen, I can, because I forgot to do that part of your demo, sorry. We talked about doing that, and so here I am in, you know, for example, I'm in the weather app, and I can come back here and, you know, go home. So right now I was searching for Atlanta, Georgia, but, you know, let's say that I'm in the weather app, and I can just search right here for something like New York. And I can just search for New York real quick, and it's going to go find the city. It is New York, New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can just find, like, New York right here, and I see the weather, 87, so it's a little hot there today. And I can right here say pin to start. And what it's just doing is this will not create, so this creates what we call the secondary tile, because this is not my weather icon tile, right? That one is there, and that one's configured, but I can just say pin to start right here, and it gives me options of, hey, what kind of tile, what size of tile do you want? For example, right here it's got the white tile. I can choose the, you know, actual kind of the regular tile on the small tile. So let's imagine that I choose this one right here, and I just click pin to start. So the user is in control right there with regards to what we pin, and then I can go back to my start menu, and you see right there, it's New York, and it's a live tile now. Like, you see it's got the 87 degrees, and then it'll update on its own, and it'll do the right thing as we go. And it's got the little batch right there that you're seeing. So one of the batches there for the, you know, the exclamation point, that's a batch. It can be badges, can be a number, or it can be a set of predefined icons. There's like 20 predefined icons that we let you use as badges. Now, the beauty of this is that if I just close search, or if I go back here to search and or to weather, and I'm in something else, right? So I can go back here to Atlanta, and then when I go back to the start screen, whenever I launch right here from New York, I'm going to go in there, and the weather application gets past the parameter that tells it to go to New York. That's what the shortcut is about.
And the app has navigated to the New York screen, but you can go back from there to the Atlanta screen. So it's not—it's not like it's totally. Put you in a new context that has no link to where you were.
Yep, exactly. So you can go ahead back to his slide.
Okay, so now we'll talk about toast notifications. Toasts are a way to notify the user about some important action that they may need to take. It's presented no matter what's going on. If you're in the application itself, it will appear. It can be pushed to the application or scheduled to appear at some particular time in the future. And toast notifications show up as a little rectangle that slides in from the upper right-hand corner of your screen that displays some text and maybe an image telling you what's going on and what you need to do. You can start to take whatever action it's asking you to take by clicking on it. The app or the toast may also play a sound. It actually may loop a sound. There's a number of different options that it has. It can be long running, such as if you have a VoIP app and you have an incoming call, it may make the telephone ringing sound, and it may loop that over and over again for a while because you just don't want to do it for 3 seconds and then hang up. So, and it can have sounds and be scheduled. Just like with the tiles and everything else, it's an XML template-based system. And here's the example. Basically, it has all of the features that, you know, the text, the images, sounds, whether you want the sound to loop, whether you want it to be silent, what particular sound you want to use, which can be either a standard Windows sound, or you can have a URI to a sound file that's part of your app as one of its assets. So let's move on and talk about push notifications, because this is probably one of the most interesting things to iOS developers. Everything that we just learned applies to push notifications, except they're sent from a server somewhere. Tiles can be updated from a push notification even when your app's not running, and it's based on the Windows Notification Service, which is a free service Microsoft runs for your apps to use. And basically it works like this. You have your Windows 8 device over there in the left-hand side of the tile, and your Windows Store app is the green square running within your device. And also in the system, as part of the system, there's a notification client platform that runs. And then out on the internet somewhere, there's the Windows Notification Service, and you may be running, as a developer, maybe running a cloud service somewhere that you want to send notifications to your app. So the first thing that happens is the Windows Store app talks to the notification client within your device, requesting a channel to communicate. Then you register with your cloud service saying, hey, I want you to be able to send notifications to me. The cloud service, your cloud service, talks to the Windows Notification Service to authenticate, and the Windows Notification Service talks to the notification client on your system, not directly to your app. And your cloud service talks to the Windows Notification Service to actually send the push notifications. The Windows Notification Service delivers it to the notification client platform, which then delivers it to your app. And if it's something like a tile update, your app may not even be running. The notification client platform will receive the tile update, and your tile will be updated without your app even being launched.
Yep. If you go back real quick, so if you look at this diagram is the exact same that we use for iOS, right? I think, like, with regards to the flow, it flows the exact same, right? Like, from iOS, you have to request a channel URI local. Then you send that to that server, and then your server will push down. I think the differences, if for people who want to implement it, the differences are the lower level. Mm-hmm. So, for example, on our side, the tiles are XML, mm-hmm. and iOS you're kind of sending JSON, or you know, eventually it serializes onto something that looks like JSON when I receive them. It's kind of what I see, and then on our side it's a RESTful model. When you're talking to WNS. It's a RESTful model where we literally send in REST requests, like HTTP, kind of stateless requests onto WNS, where in iOS, you're kind of server-side, you're opening a socket and connecting and, you know, doing a little bit of, you know, kind of keeping that connection open a little bit more. Mm-hmm. On the WNS side, we're very much RESTful.
Yeah, it's a very easy interface to implement.
Yep, and there's plenty of libraries out there that kind of implement both, so you can do that.
So, okay. Go ahead. So you do have to register your app to be able to deal with push notifications. And you will see a form much like this where you have to provide, you know, a name, the package display name for your app and the publisher. You will see your package name for your app. You'll get a client secret and a package security identifier, and these will all be used as part of the API for sending push notifications.
Yep, so you send this to your server. You don't put this on your client, but you put them on your server, and mm-hmm. then that's what you use to push.
Right.
Yep.
So on the server side, Windows Azure offers notification services. It's a free cloud service for notifications. And it uses templates, and there's the URL for checking that out. There are also third-party solutions, even open source solutions, so that you can access push notifications, you know, directly that way.
Yep. Yeah, most third parties, if you're using third party on your own, most third parties, the more popular ones are already now supporting Windows and Windows Phone. And if you need something, you know, open source, then PushSharp is a good one where you can use PushSharp to push onto any library and to any platform. So it's very similar API that pushes onto iOS, WNS, or Android. So it, you know, it's kind of the benefit of that is that it's pretty cross-platform friendly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So here's a capability summary for notifications, the different capabilities they have. Tiles tiles can cycle between different images, different templates. They can be scheduled to happen at a certain point in the future. A new one, I think, because I hadn't heard about this in 8.0, is tiles expiring.
Yes, so tiles, badges, and toes expire.
I didn't know tiles did. That's new to me. Okay.
They can expire. I don't know if it's 8.0 or 8.1. I blur the lines nowadays.
Yeah.
I thought it was 8.0, but I could be wrong.
You're and right. tiles can also be periodic, and they can be updated via push.
Yep.
And whereas badges, they expire, they can be periodic and they can be pushed.
Yep.
And so on and so forth. So here's a Windows notifications cheat sheet. You got the tile update manager, the tile updater, and the tile notification. Those are the three things you need to be able to deal with updating tiles. Similarly, for the badges, there's a version of those for the badges and for toast notifications. So you can look those up in the documentation or on MSDN and see all the APIs and guides for how to use them.
Yep.
So on to lock screen apps. Up to 7 different apps on a given user's lock screen can access the lock screen permissions to display information. One app can display more detailed status. You get a chance to update it every 15 minutes in the background, and you can update badges and tiles on the lock screen.
And Eric covered lock screen, kind of what it takes,
right,
to how to register and everything. So we're not going to repeat that. But all you need to know is that if you're registered for that, then you need to update your badge. And the badges are designed slightly different. So the design is, you definitely have to pay attention to how you design your badges, what it looks like,
right,
if you're using that.
So here are some URLs for more reference information on tiles, toasts, Azure mobile services, and where you go to register for push notifications.
Yep.
Here's a good Channel 9 video introing how to use tiles and notifications.
Yep.
And that's the next one.
And that's it. So I don't see any open questions that you haven't answered. The only one I saw was the search target. And the one about running 8.0 and 8.1. Ben is too fast at answering. So why don't we take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back for the last session, which is store. And we should be able to get out of here nearly on time, or very much on time if we're
Amazing.
Aiming for 5 o'clock. So, all right, we'll be back in 10.